Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. So the Farm Show, that's where you go to register voters. If you're Scott Presler, and you might run into somebody of equal or slightly taller in the person of John Fetterman. What a picture over the weekend. What a meeting. Let's go to Scott Presler here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us as always.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Dom.
Yeah, so Scott, the Farm Show is speaks well with Fetterman, too, the only one of the few Democrats, I think, that goes to it. Did you know that he was going to be there?
No, well, I'm a little disappointed because my organization, Early Vote Action, signed up as a vendor for the Department of Agriculture's Farm Show, and all we wanted to do was register voters. And the Farm Show never got back to us, never contacted us. And so I was like, whatever, I'll just show up and, you know, look around and see if there are any spots and speak to the administration office. And so we're walking around the really large complex and we're just noticing booth after booth is just vacant, empty. There are places that people should have staff and tables and there's no one there. And so we go and talk to the office. And they say, you know, every space is sold out. I'm so sorry. And, you know, if you're waitlisted, then they'll contact you if there's an opening. And so as we're walking around, we see one table that's for John Fetterman, and it's empty. And we're like, oh, that's, you know, kind of interesting. And then we walk a little bit farther, and then we see another table, and Fetterman's table is there, and he and his wife are there. And I was like, okay, well, this is a perfect opportunity. I might as well go over and shake his hand and say hi. And so, you know, if you guys think I'm tall at 6'5", he's even taller than I am. And I just shake his hand and I say, Senator Fetterman, if you ever would like to become a Republican, we welcome you to the party. And we just kind of chit-chatted for a second, nothing too heavy. And I just said that we share similar hairstyles. But, you know, ultimately, I'm just disappointed that the Farm Show wouldn't give us an opportunity to register voters. And so I'm hopeful that we will be able to register them at the Great American Outdoor Show that happens in February. That's the next step.
Ah, okay. All right. That's perfect. So how are the Pennsylvania numbers looking today?
Well, you would think that voter registration would slow down in December, in January, but really it hasn't. And I'm putting you on speaker just for a second so I can read these off to you. So Pennsylvania, a week ago, Democrats had an advantage of 214,000 voter registrations. And today, that lead is narrowed down to 211,798. So in the last week alone, the Democrats had a net loss statewide of 2,381 voters. And if you take out inactive voters, Dom, that number goes down to 118,000. Now, to anyone that even might be saying, oh my gosh, Scott, 218,000 is a lot, I want to remind you, back in 2012 with President Obama, the number of D minus R was 1.1 million. Mm-hmm. So in 12 years' time, you guys have narrowed down that huge Democrat advantage to almost under 200,000. I mean, that is just earth-shattering that Pennsylvania is quickly becoming a purple and perhaps even light red state.
Yeah, the goal, and it's right, it's a great metaphor that Pennsylvania could become the next Florida.
Well, and we got finally, New Jersey did its job, and we have new numbers out of that state as well. And so the Democrats, because they do it by month in Pennsylvania, we get it every 7 days on Mondays. In New Jersey, you're supposed to get it every first of the year.
Okay.
And so in the last month, New Jersey Democrats added 700 voters. New Jersey Republicans added 6,700
wow.
voters. So to anyone that's in the beautiful Garden State of New Jersey and you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, we're overrun by liberals, you know, these Democrats, look, a lot of people after the drone situation, they don't trust Governor Murphy or the state government there. And now you just saw that Governor Murphy, as of yesterday, he is stopping literacy tests for teachers at schools. So if you want to make sure that New Jersey has a good education system, then I encourage you register to vote today. I encourage you to register to vote as a Republican so you can vote in the closed primaries, and you make a plan to vote on Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. And if you come out, you will flip the New Jersey governorship from Democrat to Republican.
Oh, without a doubt. Every day it becomes more apparent, Scott, and our mutual friends that we're meeting on Saturday that I talked to you about. I've never seen them as enthused about any person in any situation like this in Jersey because, you know, they fought the good fight all these years. Occasionally they got a bone Christie in there, something like that. They see a real sea change, and they see you and your organization as the force that's actually going to take these people that, you know, they have the right mindset now, but for some reason, sometimes they don't act on it. They don't register. And then we had to follow up and get them to vote, even though they're infuriated with New Jersey. By the way, New Jersey was only, I think I have it here, second or third in the U-Haul survey. California's number one of people leaving the state versus those coming into it. Although, you know, I think this, I just have the leaving. Jersey usually, leaving coming in, is in first or second place. This has gone on forever. And Scott, you've given them hope because their only hope was to move. They don't want to move. New Jersey has deep roots. Or put up with this continuously. This is the other avenue. And the governor's office is wielding a lot of power in Jersey. It's a very powerful governor's office.
Well, all it takes is a little bit of elbow grease, Dom. And I mean, look at what we did with Bucks County. And I'm not blowing my horn here, but to just put things into perspective, we flipped Bucks County for the first time since 1988. We flipped it in voter registration, and we won the county by 300 votes. So voter registration does win elections. And I'm actually in Bucks County right now. And I just, you know, I went to the Giant to get some coffee. Somebody recognized me from social media. I go to the Iron Brewery last night. Somebody recognized me. But it just shows that, you know, the work that we do has real life ramifications and that people are invested in it. And now that we have put our magnifying glass on New Jersey, people are going, wow, if Scott and his crew are focusing on New Jersey is in play. And part of it is believing that you can win. And so Susan, one of our staffers, she already got the ability to register voters outside of a supermarket. And so we're already laying the foundation as early as now in January of 2025. and we're hitting the ground running. I was just at the Green Dragon Farmers Market in the snow. Like, I want people to know we are not going to let up on this. We're going to be on New Jersey like a dog on a bone, and we're marching straight into November 4, 2025.
We're talking with Scott Presler. So, Scott, do you notice Democrats trying to find, we hear this all the time, it used to be with talk radio, they're trying to find a Scott Presler. I've heard there are tryouts. You know, men have to be at least 6'3". They have to have unbelievable hair. They have to be willing to wear boots. They have to have the Virginia or a combination accent in order to do this. What are the Democrats? What are the Democrats doing to counter?
You know, right now it doesn't look like the Democrats are doing anything. We just elected, whether people are happy about this or not, but let's give credit where credit is due. On the first speaker vote, Republicans came together as a family and picked Speaker Johnson and reelected him, President Trump's endorsed pick. We already have a Speaker of the House. There was no infighting. There was no battle. There was no 30 rounds for the Speaker. We already have our government that's being lined up. And President Trump just said, we want the no tax on tips. We want a secure border. And I'm asking, in addition, for Republicans to focus on election integrity, because we must restore Americans' trust in our elections. And while the Democrats on the other side, I don't see that they have hired staff on the ground. The Democrats are in disarray. They don't have a message. They don't know what they stand for. And the numbers are reflective. And Pennsylvania alone, in the last week, 400 Republicans switched to Democrat, while 1,200 Democrats switched to Republican. So what we're seeing in our government and what we're seeing from our elected officials, I think we're seeing in the data on the ground.
Absolutely, Scott. So, and there's a myriad of ways, we talk about them all the time with you, that people can help. I'm not forgetting in April, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. I saw something over the weekend that I starred, because there were people here in Pennsylvania talking about, well, how in the world can this Supreme Court race be made intriguing to voters? Surely they're not going to care about it. And I would think, well, Scott Presler is the antidote to that.
Well, when I explained to them, listen for a second. So the Supreme Court in 2020, they ruled, and by the way, the Supreme Court is 5 Democrats to 2 Republicans, 5 Dems. So there are 3 Democrats that are up for retention this November. If every voter in Pennsylvania comes out, the people that voted for Trump, and votes no to retention, you will literally defeat 3 Democrat Supreme Court justices that either voted A, to give Democrat Governor Wolf the ability to shut down Pennsylvania during COVID, and or ruled that mail-in ballots could be accepted 3 days after Election Day in 2020. So if you guys at home care that your churches were shut down, your schools were shut down, your businesses were shut down, and you still are never going to forgive or forget that that happened, you can provide for justice and accountability by voting no to retention on Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. And furthermore, if you believe, as I do, that the election was stolen from us because these Democrat justices voted to allow mail-in ballots to be received 3 days after Election Day, then if you want justice and if you want accountability, again, you vote no to retention. These Supreme Court races, whether they are quote-unquote sexy or not, have real-life, world ramifications.
They do, and they put the fear of God in some of these other judges not to do what these judges have done. That's exactly right. So where do we go, Scott, for everything?
Well, and last thing, because I know we're short on time, but look at Trudeau. Today is Happy Certification Day, and Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, has announced that he's stepping down as the Liberal Party leader. If Trump were not elected, would Justin Trudeau be staying in office? Perhaps.
I don't think so. I think he would stay. I think there's a possibility. Yeah.
So your vote, ladies and gentlemen, makes a difference. If you want me to continue to be successful, please support me financially at earlyvoteaction.com. Help me hire more staff in Pennsylvania. Help me hire more staff in New Jersey. And you can also sign up to volunteer. I just put a Google Doc on my X account at Scott Pressler, and it just says Scott Pressler, New Jersey. We would love your help in all of New Jersey's 21 counties.
Absolutely. Well, we have a lot coming your way, Scott. Thank you so much, as always. We'll catch up with you this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Take care. Scott Pressler here on Talk Radio 1210 from a giant in Bucks County or somewhere near there. All right, 855-839-1210. We can get on board. A lot happening. You heard those numbers out of Jersey. Those are good. They're indicative of that. And there are a lot of people that are Democrats that if they don't move to registration of Republicans, still are going to vote that way if we have a good primary and have the right person in there. But it is time for a big prize for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
That is right. Every day around this time, it's Dobbs Money Melody. And let's see if I have the prize list. I have it somewhere here. Yes, I do. All right. Today we're playing for a pair of tickets to the Philly Auto Show. It's a great event at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, January 11th to 20th. For tickets and more information, visit PhillyAutoShow.com. Dan?
Yeah, it's actually Henry that's going to be picking one out today.
Okay.
Fantastic one based on the side question.
Yep. Yeah, so the side question today, what is that all-time epiphany, dream, realization?
Right.
I'm going to play a song called Dreams. You may know the original version by the Cranberries. I'm going to play a cover of that song. I want to know the country or language of origin that this song hails from.
Henry, I think you're going to the dark side. This is the area that Dan flummoxes people with. So we want to
really
know
the dark side on this one, Dom.
Yeah, we want to know the language that this song is done in.
Correct.
All right, if you do that, we get a great prize. Pair of tickets, as I said, to the Philly Auto Show.
Ooh, what a prize.
PhillyAutoShow.com. Great stuff this year, as always. Here's how you do it. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All we need you to do is just push pound 1210. All right, let's go to Tom in Bucks County. All right, Tom, afternoon. What language is that song in?
Great song by the Cranberries, sung in Chinese.
All right.
Wow.
Very nice. Don't pick up Chinese with that. Nothing like it. I'm not sure why. I thought it was... almost a European language.
No.
All right.
No. Yeah. A lot of All Japanese right. guests on the YouTube chat.
Yeah, that's what I thought would have went first, honestly.
Right. So, Tom and Bucks County, pair of tickets. The Philly Auto Show, we'll have these all this week at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, January 11th to the 20th. For tickets and more information, visit PhillyAutoShow.com. All right, I referenced to Scott, and for some reason... I only clipped this part of it. Here's the headline. U-Haul every year gives us the stats, U-Haul, of people moving in and out. The headline was U-Haul tracked the number of people moving into every state in 2024. So I don't have the total moving out and then versus moving in and add them up. So Jersey was number 48 of people moving into. Massachusetts, 49. California, fifth year in a row, 50th. But I still think Jersey might have more people moving out than the other two, even though it ranks at the bottom in moving in.
Did you see who number five was on that list?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
I think that's been there for a while. It's seen as an ancient state. You know what I mean? That
you want to hear the top five, which is fascinating?
Yeah, well, the top five moving in.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
South Carolina.
Right.
Number two, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, North Carolina.
Right.
Number four, Florida. Number five, Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee was the only one I thought was a little...
All red states.
Yeah, all red states, Sun Belt sort of states. And I think they've been, I don't know if South Carolina was number one before, but when you do the combination, Jersey, really bad. So this is an opportunity. You're never going to see a better climate. We don't even know who the Democrat, this Gottheimer guy, we've talked about him allegedly, according to the Inquirer, falsifying his Spotify record of what he listened to in 2024 and making it all Springsteen songs in Jersey, when it really wasn't that. They caught him on the font and everything else. Harry Hurley, who really knows Jersey, tells me, though, he thinks Gottheimer will be the candidate. He'll try to masquerade as somewhat moderate, of course. And the drone thing still goes on as we count down to the inauguration. And as predicted, people don't seem to care as much about it. I'm not sure if something else has happened, that it's lesser or whatever, but people think, well, what are you going to do? How much are we going to complain? How much time are we going to spend on it? By the way, last night, we mentioned the Golden Globes. They had extra arm protection. What was it? The Beverly Hills Hilton. I think that's where it is all the time. And they had snipers all around the area just to make sure the Hollywood crowd could be undisturbed. The very crowd that... Historically, I was waiting for some anti-Trump stuff. There was a little bit of it, but this is cut three. Here's Nikki Glaser, who did not go off as much as I've seen her at Roast last night, talking to the Hollywood crowd, telling them how powerful they are, but there's a little something they can't get done.
Here to roast you tonight, I want you to know that, and how could I, really? You're all so famous, so talented, so powerful. I mean, you could really do anything. I mean, except tell the country who to vote for, but it's okay. You'll get them next time, if there is one. I'm scared. Ariana, hold my finger. Thank you.
All right, Ricky Gervais was watching it somewhere, and I think he was tweeting out what he would have said moment to moment. Oh, man. And those people really can't get up and leave when he's, I don't know, if he did it once or twice, they're not going to have him back again to do that in any situation, because they're right on top of them. But the idea that you're so powerful, and yet you couldn't tell people who to vote for, absolutely. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Give us something that is an epiphany, either a fictional one, one that's real in anything that you've seen, where people make a change, something's revealed to them. Isaac Newton, Apple Falls Down, Matrix, Sixth Sense. Any good ones on Twitter, Dan, that you've happened to see?
No, I'm looking here now. Luke, I am your father, said Zarv Trent says in Usual Suspects, when the FBI agent finds out the verbal kin is Kaiser Soze. AOC questioning Tom Homan and suddenly realizing he was sharper than her, so she ended the session.
That was a good moment, to put it mildly.
And a great Christmas answer of Scrooge.
Yes, yeah, Scrooge is the number one answer I see when I Google whenever we do the side question in advance. Might be tomorrow, by the way. Coming off Ray Dittinger, say it ain't so, Ray, on Friday when he said, oh, no, Dom, I don't think Eric Dickerson people really know anyhow. And I think Barkley ought to rest and the offensive line ought to rest. And I immediately said, you broke my heart, Ray. So be thinking of somebody or something that really disappointed you. Look, I know a lot of people would say, what do you mean, Christy disappointed? I see, then you're just not wanting to play fair. Back in the day, Christy was it. I had him on seven times, high hopes for him, etc. Then the Obama matter came up, and that was the tell. That was the epiphany. That was the turning point. That slugfest he had with me was unbelievable. And then after that, it was all downhill. Bridgegate, the stuff with him on the beach. My God, the arrogance.
That's none of your business.
Yep. he was actually snorting in that tape, Dan. You can hear him getting revved up because he knew where I was going to go. So I tried to make the first question, get to the heart of the matter, but not be over the top. By the time we got 3 or 4 minutes into it, I was just going on. I didn't even know where I was. That's how ferocious it was. Boy, I wish he were in studio. That guy, that's the guy you want to debate. If I had a debate team, all right, you're debating Christie today to get ready. It's like batting practice. He's that good. But he's a bully. And he's just, what, way off the mark now. He just can't find a place. All right, Jerry in Wilmington. Jerry, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Jerry, good afternoon.
Hi, happy holidays, everyone. How
Thank you,
doing?
Jerry, very much.
Yes, my epiphany was, you know, we all had to go get COVID shots and we'd be safe.
Right.
So I got shots, my friends got shots, and then all of a sudden, we got our shot right after shots. We got COVID, and Joe Biden got 6 shots. He got COVID. So that was when I decided that Fauci and all those were just full of baloney. They didn't know what they were talking about. And
well, so meaning at that point, rather than you won't get it, that you'll probably survive it is what they should have said. But they implied, at least, if you get these shots, you're not going to come down with COVID.
Yeah, no, they said it was 100, you know, basically the impression I got was you get the shot, foolproof, no COVID, don't worry about it, just get it. And I got it, so did my friends and all. So that was when I realized Fauci and all that, they're just winging it. They were
gotcha.
Going just.
Thank you, Jerry. I wonder how many people ended up to this point in time since we've known it, never having COVID. Maybe they didn't test, though. They wouldn't know. They might have had it and just thought it was the flu or something else. But 855-839-1210. Today, a big day. We're going to talk with Congressman Dan Muser, who was a big force here in Pennsylvania, helping to elect President Trump. And I seem to remember there was a bone of contention with him. He was on Fox News. Fox and the host, it's a female on... Not Harris Faulkner, it'll come to me. Suddenly got into it about January 6th with Muser. And he was at an airport getting ready to go somewhere. It was quite a, you know, I referenced it to him once. So we'll talk with him. I think he's in Washington today voting on this. And where do we go next? Jeff Van Drew has been made the chairman of the subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee, Oversight, which is a powerful spot in a powerful committee, because that's where a lot of the action ends up. Hopefully we'll get... He's on tomorrow, too, and we'll ask him about that. And also, I will ask him about the drones again. I got to write that down, since nobody cares about it anymore. He went out on a limb and talked about something that may have been... will we ever find out? Well, when Trump is actually inaugurated, maybe we will. All right, Congressman Dan Muser, 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. We should talk with Congressman Muser here pretty shortly. He's in Washington, a certification vote over. Reading more on this New Jersey testing thing, Mediaite says, well, this was... backed by New Jersey Democrats like State Senator Jim Beach, who says, quote, we need more teachers. This is the best way to get them. Talking about getting rid of this test that measured reading, math, and writing. Is it? Really? All right, let's go to Joe in Columbus. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Joe, good afternoon.
Tom, the question should be, how do we get better students, not better teachers?
Well, both, don't you think?
Well, yeah, if you're doing the right thing. I mean, everything's about teachers, the unions. We've been hearing that for God knows how long, right?
Yeah.
The focus should be on the student.
Okay, Joe, I'm not sure your point there. What are we doing that you think is out of line?
Well, I was good friends. Remember Charlie Lau? George Brett's batting instructor.
Oh, yeah,
He told me. Yeah. He told me once, teaching is never, ever, ever about the teacher. It's about the student. So when you put the focal point on the teacher, you're removing it from the student. They're going substandard here. They're trying to get as many teachers in replacement, but nobody's talking about the student and how you're building the student up. You're talking about how you're building the educational population up and not the student.
Well, with the student, we also have testing, and I'm fine with that. I think it indicates the failure of the system. Then we get back to the same argument. Why is it failing so much? A lot of it goes back to the family not demanding certain things, or the family's so bad, the kid is in crisis, or both, from the kid, and then the teacher does have a difficult job.
I know there's school districts out there that are telling their teachers, don't give a student anything lower than a 70. That's
right.
You could put all the tests in there you want. That's the big test, if you ask me.
Well, Joe, when I was teaching in South Jersey, of all places, 60 was a passing grade. Can you imagine 60? I couldn't write the pen and put a D down. I had a kid with a 78, and he said to me, that's a low B. I said, over my dead body. There's no way 78's a B. Come on.
Back when I was growing up, an 80 was intolerable, let alone a 60.
A 78's a B. But, Joe, what's your answer today?
My answer, my big awakening was standing outside a Home Depot 4 years ago on those stupid red dots, letting 10 people in line, 15 people in line, letting one in at a time. And you had all the COVID criteria, stringent. I mean, established. You had to wear a mask. Everybody in that line was either wearing a restaurant napkin or a silk bandito scarf and being let in. And that's 6 foot separation. That's when I knew everything was totally out of whack and, you know, BS.
All right. Thank you, Joe, very much. Alan in Hamilton, Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Alan.
Hello. Archimedes is my submission today, and that's he discovered the law of matter displacing matter, and he did it in his bathtub. As he moved into the water, he noticed it came up water, and he began saying, it moves, and ran out into the streets of ancient Syracuse proclaiming what he'd found.
Did he put his clothes on first?
That's the question we need to know. Was there a bathrobe involved? Now, if he were a real scientist, he would have just run out of that bathtub, right?
Yeah, that's what he did.
Thank you. That's a good one, though. That's like the Isaac Newton one. You know, that's exactly what it is. We hope to speak with Congressman Dan Muser coming up here. I'm sure anything's going on there in Washington might be a bit tied up. All right, let's go to Congressman Dan Muser. Congressman, welcome in. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us again.
Dom, great to be with you. How are you?
Very well. Now, I was telling people, if I'm right as I remember it, you and I shared after one of our first or second conversations, you were on Fox News Channel, you were at an airport, you know, a lot was going on with you, and it was an interview about the campaign. Not that they have to be the home team and they can't say, come on, Congressman, how about this? I think January 6th came up somehow or another, something like that.
Well, yeah. Well, look, they love bringing up January 6th. You know, I was here 4 years ago. I was on the House floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a fair share of lunatics that were here to create mayhem and raise hell, many of which didn't even go to the rally. In fact, I think most of them did not because they're carrying backpacks and all kinds of other crazy things that you don't see people at rallies with, and it lasted 4 hours. And you know what? It was cleaned up about 2 hours later. And that's a far cry from what you can say about our cities during the so-called Summer of Love. A lot more you could say about Chestnut Avenue, where every single storefront windows were broken along throughout Philadelphia. And I don't mean to, you know, give it an excuse for one over the other, but let's face it. I mean, they did everything they could to continue talking about J6 of 2020 for the last 4 years. And I'll tell you what's undermined democracy. I'll tell you that's hurt our country, and that's the last 4 years of the Biden administration. I mean, I challenge anyone, what is actually better since Biden's been president in our national security, in our economy, in our energy industry, in our schools, in our fiscal position? What is better since Biden and Harris have been president? And you know what? It's wars throughout the world, not just the Ukraine, the Middle East. I mean, Africa. How about the fact that Mexico has turned into a gangland under this administration? So we have a lot of work to do. We're prioritizing. We've been here over the weekend, and we're going to be staying here to help lay out the plan that President Trump's going to lead. It's the American First agenda, and we are going to make America great again. It's not going to be just a saying. What we care most about is results.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're the type of guy that can handle this. I don't want it to be minutia, but I want to get listeners accustomed to a healthy debate that I think is going on. Mike Johnson and the president seem better strategy to put this in what Johnson called one big, beautiful bill, the border, the spending needed with that, the tax stuff and all that. I usually am pretty reluctant with that. I hear their argument on strategy. What are you thinking at this point? And I think some Republicans are on board, certainly with voting for every one of those things. Is it better? And that would take us probably past the first 100 days to do this. The other side says, get the border done quickly. That's what people want.
Yeah. You know what, Dom? I'm very good with the one big, beautiful bill approach. And I'll tell you what, the president is going to be able to correct and secure the border in the same manner he did before. It doesn't necessarily need legislation. Now, okay, we'll need some funding. We're going to have to move some of that money around. But it's going to be a big start, and the border is going to be secure in a hurry. The legislation will occur within the first 100 days. That's not just our goal. That's our commitment. So within 100 days, so figure by the end of April, we will have this big, beautiful bill. And it will be about national security. It will be about straightening out our economy. It will be about small business tax reductions. And it will be about bringing fiscal sanity and, yes, reductions to the insane level of spending that has taken place under this Biden administration.
I saw Byron Donalds, Congressman, saying, yes, I think he wrote part of it or something like that. It is in there, the no tax on tips. Do you have any knowledge of that?
Yeah, well, we're going to. I mean, that was a promise that right. President Trump made. And, you know, we got to get to the details. Is that just going to be for tips for waiters and waitresses and those in the service industry? I mean, we have to lay it out so it's followed and it can't be abused. So, you know, there's details to it. But, yeah, that's going to be in there.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I'm just checking the boxes for listeners that absolutely these things are going to be followed in one big bill. What's the number one thing for you that you want to check that box, make sure this is happening? In other words, an indicator that Republicans, well, we're going to see it on opening day, I know, but are delivering.
Well, you know, we need to lay out the plan. You know, governments mm-hmm. in the past have been afraid administrations lay out a plan. The president will have a plan. We'll be very transparent as to what's taking place. The DOGE committee, for instance, will have a plan. It's going to be very transparent as to where reductions are going to take place, and it's largely going to be waste, abuse, and fraud, and removing some of the unbelievable excesses of the Biden administration. Do you know there's about four or five or six federal agencies that are double the size now than they were 4 years ago? From the EPA to the Department of Education, they're up over 100%. I mean, these guys just have spent the American taxpayer dollars like there was no tomorrow. I believe that we can reduce our spending over the next 4 years by, yes, a round number, but I've done the math on it, by nearly $1 trillion.
Wow.
And deliver better services along the way. Yeah, it never came down after COVID. I mean, you know, Biden increased COVID, you know, spending it all by $1.5 trillion. You know, you factor in his the inflation that he caused. We could reduce by as much as $1 trillion. But there's so much more. There's the national security issues. There's the strengthening our manufacturing. There's strengthening our position around the world economically. There's bringing world stability to more peace in the Middle East and elsewhere. And it's stopping this crazy nonsense. I mean, you know, they've got this, some of the ideology and the weaponization of the court systems. I mean, it's just a misuse of government. And that's not going to be the case moving forward.
Well, I even think Trudeau, look, he was a bit on the ropes. He might have quit now, but facing down with Trump and seeing the things back and forth, I think that really was the fait accompli for him to resign.
Yeah, it's really something, right? I mean, everything that President Trump had issues with seems to be getting corrected, like the lawsuits and those that are falling away, like Trudeau, it's just, I don't know if it's vindication. All I know is it's a new day, and we have an opportunity given to us by the American people to prove that their government can run in their interests in a fiscally responsible manner. And the United States needs to be the strongest economy in the world, strongest national security, strongest defense, and a leader in bringing peace and stability around the world. You know, this administration has largely done the exact opposite. So, you know, there's definitely work to do. It's not going to happen necessarily overnight, but it'll be incremental. It'll be progressive in a good way, meaning making progress.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman, thank you. First interview of the new year. We really enjoy having you on, and have a good inaugural day, and then we'll be really down to work.
Yeah, sounds good, Dom. Hey, come down. You should come down and broadcast out of D.C. sometime, and we'll get Dave McCormick. We got a great partner now over in the Senate. We got a great new added to. We added two members, Ryan McKenzie and Rob Bresnahan. So we're strong. We're ready to go. I have, and many of us have, a really good relationship with President Trump and J.D. Vance and so many members of his cabinet. So there's going to be some really good things happening.
Well, you guys set me up. Do you have facilities there? I broadcast out of offices before, but, you know, if you have any, I'll take you up on that. We'd love to do that.
Good. Let's set it up.
All right. Thanks, Congressman.
Great experience. I think it would be very worthwhile.
Absolutely. We'd love to do it. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, Dan, just hit his person an email. I'd love to do that. You know, it's hard to have to get an engineer to go down there. I've done it from congressional offices, but I think they have something in the Capitol. That would be a worthwhile trip, particularly if we get Vance and McCormick and a few others. All right, it is the lightning round next, though. Hit us with that epiphany, real or fictional, that someone had. The revelation is what we're looking for. 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, Tom Chier, Dano Show. Hit us with that epiphany. Get your name into the hat to kick off this week for a great prize. As always, Joe of Exton on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello, Dom, and a good 2025 New Year to you and the gang there.
Well, thank you, Joe.
My epiphany is the realization of the incongruity of there being two time differentials, standard time and daylight saving time. You build your personal habits in accordance to one time differential, and then three quarters of the way down the year, you build your habits, your personal habits, to conform to a different time differential.
All right, Joe, thank you. Well, it's going to be debated this year due to potential change, which I'm on board with. I'm not sure, though, the forces that want the current system are pretty strong. Earl in Tacony. Hey, Earl. Happy New Year. Welcome to Talk Radio 1210.
Happy New Year, Dom. My epiphany was that stupidity, ignorance, and political corruption are eternal. I've always known that the lunar cycle is 28 days. 28
yes.
days, that's 4 7-day weeks.
Right.
And I saw something on Twitter a couple months ago that said that if we had a 13-month year at 28 days each, that would be 364 days. And then we could have, you know, one day in between the 13th month and the first month. Every first of the month would be a Monday. We wouldn't have to keep changing calendars. But they kept taking days from, like, February to put toward July and August, because July and August are both named after Caesars, Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar. And you couldn't have one guy have more days than another. And we can't have 13 months in a year, because that's unlucky. So because of superstition and political selfishness, we now have this screwed up calendar where is it 30 days, is it 31 days, you know, how many days do we add? Instead of having a nice round, even calendar, you know, something you can keep on the wall all the time, it's all screwed up because of corruption and stupidity.
Huh. Thank you, Earl. As usual, same story. That's quite a history lesson there. Kathy in South Jersey. Kathy, what's your epiphany?
Hi. So there was a movie, and Dom, it's good to talk to you again. I love your show.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. There was a movie in 1992, and it did win an Oscar or two, called The Crying Game. And there was a scene towards the very end that was controversial and really crazy for that time in 1992.
Oh,
it turns out that who he thought was a woman when she opens her robe was a transsexual and wasn't really fully a woman. And everybody in the audience, it was a big twist back in that, back in the 90s, you weren't allowed to tell anybody unless they saw it. So yes, it's like a spoiler alert. But it was an amazing movie, and that was a very, like, that was triggering for everybody. That was like, oh my God, did you see that? So that's mine, the movie The Crying Game, The Revelation.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. I like the way you lay out your call. This next one, I don't remember it, but it is intriguing. When Mickey Mantle gave his farewell speech, Dave in Oak Glen. Dave, what happened when the Mick did that?
All right, can I quote the speech?
Sure.
I didn't know how Lou Gehrig, here at home plate, knowing he was going to die, and say he was the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Boy, that is it. Yeah, when you
know,
when you have to hang him up, Mickey Mantle. Yeah, that is good, because Mickey Mantle, not exactly poetic. But by the way, Dan, did you happen to see, very good one, the mayor of Wildwood is being cited as poetic, Ernie.
Oh, yeah?
Because he said the snow today was not windy. It was coming down beautifully calm and still straight down over the Wildwoods. The Inquirer called him a poet today for that.
He is a poet. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we all knew it or know it.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Henry, do you have, I like the last one a lot, but there were a couple of others.
I mean, I like that one too. So David Oakland will definitely throw in there. I also liked Alan and Hamilton's answer of Archimedes figuring out matter displaces matter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the bathtub. It's literally the original shower thought.
Right.
If you think of it that way. And I also liked Earl's answer of the lunar cycles and the calendar and how it just all doesn't line up.
And Dan?
I like the Earl, the lunar year calendar, because I never really thought about it, but it is kind of weird how our calendar works, and we could have an easier option, but we just choose not to. It's kind of an epiphany I had myself today.
Okay. I got to say, I'm intrigued with the Mantle Lou Gehrig one, because for Mickey Mantle to realize that, I just thought he was, you know, drunk and just,
Wins. Yeah, David Oakland goes into
David Oakland and doing it too, although the calendar was great. All right, we'll do it all again tomorrow. Jeff Van Drew is on at 2 o'clock tomorrow. He's just been appointed to be the chairman of the Oversight Committee for Judiciary, which is a powerful spot. But we'll pick up with him on any number of things that will be out there. And has President Trump said anything more recently to him that we can talk about? Good to have Dan and Henry back and to have you back. I'm going to go and dig out of, well, I don't have to dig out a parking space. I can't say that. But if I did, I have a perfect thing I want to throw out to put in there. Just have to get it past Roe. It's a good way to get rid of stuff. Dan, are you don't have to shovel anymore, right? You're not going
No more shoveling. It's great.
And Henry's in the suburbs. Nothing to do there.
I took the train in today, so I didn't even bother driving.
Okay. All right. We have every problem solved. Follow me on Twitter. I'll give you the final savesies thing. It was not a good showing tomorrow at Dom Show 1210 at Dom Show 1210. Rich is next for 4 big hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.